A few years ago, the New York dramatic critics were praising the fine acting of a young man in the Broadway play, The Last Mile. Hollywood heard about it, as Hollywood usually does, and he was soon on a westbound train. His name is, of course, Spencer Tracy, and his excellent performance in Captain's Courageous won him the Prize Academy Award. His latest picture is Test Pilot. He is now starring with Mickey Rooney in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Boys Town, and I'm sure we'll all be glad to know that he is to play Major Rogers in the picture version of that grand book, Northwest Passage. Spencer Tracy appears in one of the most famous of all newspaper plays, Five Star Final. He plays the managing editor, and I play the owner of the paper. The owner is, he's not a very nice fellow. So just remember, I'm only acting, won't you? Spencer Tracy in Five Star Final.
Read all about it. What do you read there, mister?
Gazette.
Gazette. Hey, y'all, first one I saw today.
Right.
Extra, extra.
Now, Mr. Randall, here are the latest circulation figures. Monday, 302,000. Tuesday, 301,000. Wednesday...
Yeah, I know. You let me print the stock market prices, the Gazette would be the only tabloid in town to get the sucker list.
That is definitely contrary to the policy of the paper. Ever since I bought it, we have succeeded because our policy has been, frankly, a sensational one.
All right, so the circulation is down. So what?
My boy, the life and blood of a newspaper today is circulation. In our type of paper, we must have mass circulation. Editors have a tendency to get on a pedestal above their readers.
If I sat on a cigar box, I'd be above ours.
Randall, I've invested something like $7 million in this paper, which keeps me quite away from sentimentalism. Now, I believe we can raise our circulation and at the same time be dignified about our sensationalism.
Sensational but dignified, huh? That's the neatest trick of the week. How do you work it?
By having our sensational stories written in such a way that they point a moral. Oh, that reminds me. I was just talking to Brannigan and French about a new serial I have in mind. It's the inside story of the Nancy Voorhees case. You remember the stenographer that shot her boss?
Oh, sure. I remember. Covered it for the old New York press. Shot a guy named Bill Rogers, candy manufacturer. They called him the Chocolate King. Yeah, that must have been about 15 years ago.
Exactly 20 years ago, next week. Now, I've had a good writer on it.
You're not going to spread that story all over the place again?
Well, why not? We haven't had any good murders in a long time. We might as well resurrect an old one. It's new to the younger generation, and it might teach them a lesson.
Okay, you're the boss.
I'll tell you, we'll call it the Love Mad Stenographer. Yeah, I like the serial idea, Randall. I expect a lot from it.
Don't worry, I'll give you the reddest display you ever saw.
Ah, that's what I like to hear. It's like old times.
Hello, give me the morgue. Well, we'll start in next... Hello, Jim. Jim, get me all the clips you can on Nancy Voorhees. Nancy Voorhees, didn't you ever hear of her? She shot a guy 20 years ago. Find out where she is now. She got married. Ask the district attorney's office. If they don't know, try headquarters. And see what pictures they've got. Hello, Ziggy. Get this. Nancy Voorhees married Michael Townsend, assistant cashier, Metropolitan National. Lives 10084 West 172nd, fourth floor rear. She's got a daughter, 20. You got that? I don't care how you do it, but I want an interview. Find out what church they go to. Where's their daughter? What school did she attend? And get this, I want to hook this up and I want pictures. Yeah, that's it. Her name now is Mrs. Michael Townsend. Michael.
Michael, look. Look at this paper. Beginning Monday, the New York Evening Gazette will publish the first installment of the notorious Nancy Voorhees murder. Michael, what can we do?
Now, don't worry, Nancy. They don't know your name now. And they don't know where we live. We might go away somewhere.
They'd find us. Oh, and this should happen just when Jenny's getting married. We can't keep it a secret any longer. She'd find out. I know she would.
Well, maybe they can be appealed to.
Oh, Michael. Michael.
Mr. Hinchcliffe's office.
Mr. Hinchcliffe.
Who's calling, please?
Tell him. Tell him Nancy Voorhees is calling.
Mr. Hinchcliffe, Nancy Voorhees is calling.
Nancy Voorhees? I switched the call to Mr. Randall's office.
Operator, will you put this call on Mr. Randall's wire?
Mr. Randall's office.
May I speak to him, please? This is Nancy Voorhees.
It's Nancy Voorhees, Mr. Randall.
Oh, you better tell her I'm not in.
But, Mr. Randall, you can't. It's too callous.
All right. I'll take it. Hello?
Mr. Randall, this is Nancy Voorhees. You know why I'm calling. I want you to stop this story. I'm not asking for myself. Please believe that. But my daughter is being married today.
Yes, I know.
If you print that story, it will ruin her life. Will you make this sacrifice? Will you please?
Miss Voorhees, I'd like
to,
but...
There are so many other things to write about.
I can't do anything about it. It's published and the papers are on the street.
What?
I can't go on with this. If she calls again, Miss Taylor, tell her I'm not in.
Philip, wait.
What? What's that? Here, give me a paper.
Here, you are, sir.
Mrs. Townsend, I cannot permit this marriage. If I'd ever dreamed that you were Nancy Voorhees...
That was so long ago.
That is final. My son will not marry your daughter.
Nancy Voorhees kills herself. Get your cassette.
Well, Mr. Hinchcliffe, have you read your paper yet?
Randall, what's the matter with you?
Nancy Voorhees killed self. You know that's a lie, don't you? It should read, the Evening Gazette kills Nancy Voorhees.
Now, just calm yourself, Randall. I know you're touched by what has occurred. And nevertheless, a great newspaper transcends the individual.
A great newspaper. You know very well that Nancy Voorhees committed suicide because we dug up that story.
Randall, there are several ways of looking at this. You've been in the business long enough to know that sentimentality...
Not sentimentality, it's just sense. And if you print this serial now...
I'm not only going to print it, but I'm going to get a signed story from the daughter.
Yeah, I suppose she's been down here begging you to print it.
Well, no, but I think it can be arranged for a consideration.
For a consideration. Now you're going to buy her off.
You should know yourself that this would be a great thing for circulation. And I'm in this business to make money.
So am I. No one can accuse me of running a school of journalism newspaper. I'm not a crusader or an uplifter. I make money for myself by making money for the paper.
Let's have no excitement now.
You ought to know very well that for every moron who will buy this paper because of a first-person story by Nancy Voorhees' daughter, there will be intelligent advertising men who won't buy space.
What is it?
There's a young lady to see you. It's Nancy Voorhees' daughter.
I think perhaps it would be better to see her in another time.
You got a proposition to make to her, haven't you?
It would be most unwise to see the girl now. She's probably hysterical.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. Well, you're going to see her. Send her in, Miss Taylor.
Randall, you know you're making a mistake.
A mistake, huh? You're going to run this serial, aren't you? You're going to try to get a first-person story, aren't you? All right, we'll put it up to the girl.
I refuse to see your point of
view. Whether you refuse to see my point of view or...
Which of you is Mr. Hinchcliffe?
I am. Miss Townsend, you caught us at a very busy moment. Wouldn't you like to wait in my office? There we could be quiet.
You've got a proposition to make to this girl. Let's get it over with.
Well, let me begin by saying how sorry, how dreadfully sorry we are for your misfortune. You see, newspapers are huge, impersonal machines. They are the great mirrors that reflect the world as it passes.
Mr. Hinchcliffe... Why did you kill my mother?
Do you think that you could ever begin to understand the position of so complex a machine as a newspaper? It's...
Why did you kill my mother?
Go ahead and answer. If you don't, I will.
You're only adding to the confusion, Randall. I don't know why you choose a time like this.
You're going to know a great many things before this day is over. My girl, we killed your mother for purposes of circulation. He killed her, and I killed her. And the smaller fry aided and abetted the murder to amuse a gang of illiterates. Now, that's the answer, and that's the only answer there is.
Answer? Do you know that yesterday my mother was living?
Miss Townsend, please. Will you please believe that...
That you're sorry. Do you think I care what you feel? You've killed my mother and driven away from me the only other human being I ever loved. And now you say you're sorry. Where's my mother now? Where is she?
Miss Townsend, there's nothing we can do or say now.
Miss Taylor, I think you'd better take her out, if you
yes,
please.
Mr. Hinchcliffe. Come along, Miss Townsend.
Now, Hinchcliffe, what are you going to do about your Nancy Voorhees serial?
We'll decide that later, Randall.
We'll decide it here and now.
Has this paper changed hands? I'm still the owner here. Am I going to tell you exactly what this newspaper is going to do?
We're going to print that serial, and if you have any qualms about following the policy of the Gazette...
There's just one difference between you and me, Hinchcliffe. You thought up these murders. I committed them. I did it for wages. You did it for circulation.
Now, look here, Randall.
No, I'm through taking your money. And I'm through running a dirty vaudeville show for nincompoops and morons. That's who we killed that woman for. This is your engine, Hinchcliffe, and I'm handing it back to you. But before I do, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of it.
Why, you must be completely mad.
I am, and all my life I'll be mad, because all my life I'll see that girl standing there and asking me why I killed her mother. Well, now I want you to enjoy that picture with me. I want you to wake up at the night and see your own squashy little soul. I want you to know that every human being that works for you knows you for the hypocrite that you are. We all know it, and we take your money and do your work because we're afraid to starve.
I assume that you've said all that you wanted to say, Mr. Randall?
Don't bother firing me. I'm leaving.
Gazette,
Ecstasy.
Paper, mister? Evening Gazette?
Yeah, I'll take a Gazette. I'll take all you've got. Here's $5 for you.
Gee whiz. Thanks, mister. Hey, what are you going to do with all them papers?
I'm going to take great pleasure in throwing them one by one down the nearest sewer.
Jason Sanborn now with Spencer Tracy, Edward Arnold, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, John Carter, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Arm Brewster and the Jason Sanborn Orchestra continues in just a moment.
We're listening to the Jason Sanborn Hour from Sunday, July 24th of 1938, featuring Spencer Tracy as a special guest, doing a real fine job there as the star of... An old Warner Brothers movie, Five-Star Final. Bob Kolosowski, do you think that was a pretty good, faithful adaptation of that film?
Yeah, it was. It was very good. And Spencer Tracy's performance was really good for, you know, he's basically a motion picture actor, mm-hmm, but he read his lines really well. And Edward Arnold, who was supposed to be, you know, a great actor, was like stumbling around, you know, and making little mistakes here and there. But I remember seeing the movie with Edward G. Robbins, mm-hmm, a long time ago. And, of course, that had a little different pace because it was a Warner Brothers movie and it was
faster
paced than this. But, yeah, this is a nice condensation of that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Cute to hear. Yeah. Well, we're going to hear Spencer Tracy with Edgar and Charlie in the next segment of this program, so stick around. I'm Chuck Shaden. You're listening to Those Were the Days on WNIB in Chicago and WNIZ in Zion.
This is it, Hawaii as you always wanted to see it. Via YMT Vacation Special Cruise for WNIB listeners. Your tour leaves October 4th, 2001, and includes 12 days of pampered luxury on Carnival's fun ship, Spirit. You'll fly to Honolulu, take in all the sights, cruise the exotic Outer Islands, stroll the black beaches of the Big Island, overlook the majestic volcanoes on Maui, and the cascading waterfalls of Kauai. Then enjoy the Spirit as you cruise in style to Ensenada. You'll have fun in Mexico. The guaranteed lowest price for WNIB listeners is from only $2,199 plus tax. This includes air, hotels, all meals on ship, baggage, guides, and more. Call for your free brochure, 1-800-922-9000. Cruise Hawaii plus Mexico and L.A. too, 1-800-922-9000. That's 1-800-922-9000.
Thanks for calling Fidelity Investments. How can I help you?
I'm glad I got a hold of you here.
Here's my dilemma. I want to stay invested in technology stocks, but I just don't have the time to do the research.
Yeah, technology can be a hard industry to stay on top of.
I mean, is there anything that you have that can help me stay in technology without staying up all night?
Well, the Fidelity Select Technology Portfolios. Those are managed by analysts that spend all their time focused on those sectors.
Okay.
So by having our people do the research that you don't have the time to do, that's a good thing.
Well, that definitely solves the problem for me.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Let's move
see
on
yourself
now.
Succeeding. Fidelity Select Technology Portfolios. Call, click, or visit Fidelity Investments. 1-800-FIDELITY, fidelity.com.
Because of their narrow focus, sector funds tend to be more volatile than funds that diversify across many sectors and companies. For more complete information on Fidelity's select portfolios, please call us for a free prospectus. Read it carefully before you invest or send money. Fidelity Brokerage Services, Inc., member NYSE SIPC.
Many people experience problems with their veins, from varicose and spider veins to more serious problems such as leg ulcers and thrombosis. But few people are aware of an exceptional healthcare resource where all of these conditions can be treated successfully by the area's best vascular experts. The University of Chicago Hospital's Vein Clinic on the North Side. Here, vascular and plastic surgeons, nurse specialists, and ultrasound technicians work together to provide innovative treatment options for virtually all vein problems, both medical and aesthetic. With the help of advanced diagnostics, vein clinic specialists at Weiss Memorial are able to quickly and effectively determine the cause of a condition, then treat patients, in many cases, non-surgically or with minimally invasive surgery. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 773-564-5770 or after hours, call 1-888-UCH-0200. Weiss Memorial, it's where answers can be found.
An audio transcript of today's complete four-hour Those Were the Days program is available on two C-120 cassette tapes for $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. That's a total of $30. You can send to Those Were the Days, Box 421, Morton Grove, Illinois, 60053. And be sure to mention the date of our Those Were the Days program, the one that you'd like to have, to order by phone while we're on the air this afternoon. Of course, you can use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard and call the studio number, the one we've been giving all afternoon, at 312-629-6030. And if you'd like to see fine actors doing a radio program, that would be the thing to do tomorrow afternoon when the AFTRA-SAG radio players will be performing here in our Radio Hall of Fame studio in the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, the members of the professional performers, members of the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and the Screen Actors Guild will present Tom Stoppard's funny and fascinating radio drama, Albert's Bridge. It's a story about a young college graduate who prefers the job of painting a bridge to a surefire position in his father's business and what happens to him as the bridge and the bridge as his obsessiveness about the job grows out of control. Fine drama for you tomorrow afternoon, along with a couple of Bob and Ray comedy spots. So it'll be an interesting afternoon. Program begins at 2 o'clock. Doors open at 1:30. The museum opens at noon, and there's no charge for anything. The museum is free to the public, and so is the performance, and you'll enjoy it. So why don't you come by and plan to spend a fine hour in the Chicago Cultural Center and the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Michigan Avenue between Randolph and Washington Street. That's tomorrow, the 12th of November. It'll be a good afternoon. Make a little note of it. Make a post-it note and stick it on the refrigerator, right? When you open the fridge for breakfast tomorrow, say, oh, let's go down to the museum and see the professional performers doing the production of Albert's Bridge. Now, let's continue with the Chase and Sanborn Hour.
This is Edward Arnold, glad to toss off the black cloak of villainy and continue the Chase and Sanborn Hour. It continues with John Carter singing Love Walked In. And if I want to keep the friendship of Charlie McCarthy, I'd better say that Love Walked In is from the Goldwyn Follies starring Charlie McCarthy. All right, Johnny.
The shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment and my heart seemed to know that love said hello. Oh, not a word was spoken. One look and I forgot the gloom of the past. One look and I had found my future at last. One look and I had found the world completely new. When love walked in with you, right in and roll the shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment and my heart seemed to know that love said hello.
A gay, lilting Spanish love song, John Carter sings Eres Tú, which means simply, for you.
Ay, en el mundo, muy lindos ojos, pero dos solos con tus miradas me hacen soñar. Con tu dulzura, cuando me miran, el paraíso me hacen probar. Hay en el mundo mis lindos labios, pero dos solos saben besar. Y esos labios son tuyos, mi alma, son tuyos, mi alma, para enebriar. Ay, en el mundo, muy lindas flores, pero una sola tiene perfume embriagador. Y son sus pétalos de terciopelo que al tocarlos para pendejos locos de amor. Hay en el cielo muchas estrellas, pero una sola sabe brillar. Y esa flor y esa estrella eres tú, mi alma, con mi camino es de alumbrar.
Bravo, that was singing par excellence. Bravo, bravissimo, huh?
Bravo is right, Edward. Your choice of expressions bespeak the fact that you are a true cosmopolite, a connoisseur, a boulevardier.
Who, me?
Yes, Edward, you are a bon vivant, full of savoir-faire and joie de vivre.
Am I?
You certainly are.
Yeah. Well, we can't all be perfect.
I was merely pointing out, Claude, that Edward must be a citizen of the world, a well-traveled man.
Well, Clarence, I have been around a little bit. I've done my share of traveling. And...
there you are, Claude. I was right. I have discovered a new aspect in Edward's character that we never suspected. I've just discovered a new side to him.
Stick a flag in him and claim it for the United States.
I was speaking figuratively, Claude. travel is a wonderful thing. The true traveler really abandons himself. Ah, to live lazily in London. Toy with trinkets in Trinidad. Roomba rhythmically in Rio.
Baked beans in Boston.
Well, I once tickled a tuna in Tampa.
If it isn't asking to...
Did you ever bite a bologna in Butte?
No. No, but I busted a bed in Buffalo.
If you fellas have finished your foolish folly roll, I should like to continue.
Now go ahead, Clarence. Tell us all about your globe-trotting. Have you been to many faraway places?
Frankly, yes, Edward. I have sailed the seven seas and visited the four corners of the earth. I've traveled by rail, by boat, by plane...
And by request.
Claude, I should think that you'd be proud of your brother's journeying.
Claude, don't you ever feel the urge to escape from the humdrum routine of your workaday world? Come with me. Let me show you the vagabond life. I'll pack a grip. We'll climb mountains, explore valleys, cross rivers. Will you come with me?
What's in the grip?
That makes no difference.
Claude, doesn't the mere mention of strange lands make your heart beat faster?
Doesn't it quicken your pulse? Doesn't it make you tingle?
My foot to sleep, that's what you mean.
That most certainly is not what I mean.
Still asleep.
Did you ever hear the call of the open road or feel the longing for salt spray in your face? Doesn't it uplift you? Doesn't it carry you away?
My whole leg's asleep now.
Claude. It's
creeping up on me.
You seem to be strangely lacking in the spirit of adventure. I, at least, have seen the interesting things the world has to offer and have found many charming customs among the peoples I visited. For example, do you know that when Eskimos kiss, they rub noses?
So do I. You can't help it.
No, Claude, they do not kiss with their lips as we do. They merely rub their noses together, although very few people know why.
Maybe they want to start a fire.
Gentlemen, let's not jest about the Arctic. Why, its natural phenomena alone has held explorers spellbound. The weird lights of the Aurora Borealis, the nights that are 6 months long.
6 months long? Boy, I'd hate to be a night watchman there.
Can I go out after dinner and play for a couple of months?
Yes, but remember, you've got to be in bed by January.
Edward,
You said I could stay up until February tonight.
All right, you can stay up until February, but not a week longer.
If you will only give me...
Johnny's mother lets him stay up way after March.
It seems the only way we can get out of this discussion is to leave the Arctic.
And so, with deep regret in our hearts, we leave the Arctic, land of the midnight sun. Boarding our boat, we sail forth to new adventures.
Watch for these interesting features at your neighborhood theater.
As a matter of fact, your levity illustrates my point. The quaint customs of the world do unfold like a fascinating picture before us. In certain parts of Africa, for instance, when a girl asks a man to marry him, why, they signify it by hitting him over the head with pots and pans.
What's that for?
Just so he can take it, I guess.
No, Claude. After she has beaten him with pots and pans, the bridegroom knows that she loves him.
When he comes to, yeah.
Custom demands that she perform these strange rites, thus showing him that she is well able to cook for him. The young man then pours melted butter over the bride's head, thus showing her...
Which side her head is buttered on?
And she really needs a bridal shower after that.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Edward, but the customs of Africa are not only the outstanding attraction. I might point out that one of the few remaining places where wild animal life still abounds is on the African veldt.
What?
The veldt, the grassy plains. Africa stretches out, veldt after veldt.
Which veldt were you on?
To tell you the truth, Edward, I don't know which veldt wherever. I can see the futility of further discussing Africa.
And so, with deep regrets in our hearts, we leave Africa. Climb aboard our pots and pans, sail through golden waves of melted butter toward the setting veldt.
Next week, we give away a complete set of butter knives.
You may poke fun at me, Claude, but you cannot overlook the fact that our beloved ancestor, Sir Lyceum Stroud, was one of the world's greatest travelers. Alas, however, he was unheralded, unsung.
Unshaved.
Ah, Sir Lyceum, I can hardly wait to hear more about the old boy. Where did he travel, Clarence, and why didn't he shave?
Sir Lyceum spent much of his time in Asia. He was held in such high esteem by the people of Asia that whenever they were in trouble...
I know. They consulted Sir Lyceum.
Right, Edward. And whenever there was a point of law to be defined...
Allow me again, Clarence. They asked Sir Lyceum.
Thank you, Edward. And whenever there was anything missing...
They searched Sir Lyceum.
Claude, you are desecrating the memory of Sir Lyceum. Why, in Hindustan, he was the first white man ever given an audience with the great Buddha. And that was when Sir Lyceum uttered those famous words.
Buddha, can you spare a dime?
This Lyceum fellow must have been quite a character, Clarence.
Indeed he was, Edward. We owe a lasting tribute to Sir Lyceum. I salute him.
And so it is with deep regret in our hearts that we follow Sir Lyceum's map and sail through his beard in search of new faces.
Next week, we give away free Buddha knives and Sir Lyceum.
It is evident that no one here appreciates the value of travel.
Oh, I do, Clarence. I think it's so educational. Where do we go from here?
Well, for a delightful country, Dorothy, might I suggest Switzerland. It has many quaint customs, foremost of which is yodeling.
Oh, I like yodeling. I think it's wonderful to see a grown man with his voice changing.
Oh, yodeling. That's just a trick, Dorothy. Anybody can do it. Listen to this.
Will you break a lease for me, Ann?
Oh, I like that. Let me try it. Was that any good?
Six mountain goats just came in.
You are employing the incorrect technique. You must have complete control, like this.
Oh, the little old lady.
You just blew a tonsil. Let's go home.
A song about the inadvisability of continuing the status quo.
Sounds like Clarence.
Anyway, the song is There'll Be Some Changes Made. The changer, Dorothy L'Amour.
Change in the weather and a change in the sea. From now on, there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me gonna be the same. I'm gonna change my way of living, if that ain't enough. I'll change the way that I strut my stuff. Nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made. The change in the shoes. Here's the way we sing the blues. We all must make changes from old to new. I must do things just the same as others do. I'm gonna change my way of talking, and not only that, I'll change the number where I'm living at. I'm not over 60 and I'm here to stay. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made.
That was lovely, Dorothy. Charlie, I want you to meet Spencer Tracy. You two Academy Award winners ought to get together. Spence, meet Charlie McCarthy.
Hiya, Charlie. You know, I've admired your work for a long time.
Yeah, you have?
Sure.
Oh, I think I'm going to like him. Mr. Tracy, permit me to return the compliment.
Oh, thanks, Charlie.
Yes, sir. You did some fine acting in Robin Hood.
Thanks.
Oh.
I wasn't in Robin Hood.
Oh? Well, it was a good picture anyway. But I remember you. You've been in a picture, haven't you?
Of course.
I know you have. It was that fishy picture, you know, that...
Oh, you mean Captain's Courageous?
That's the one, yes. Oh, Mr. Tracy, if I were given to bragging, I would tell you that I got an Academy Award, too. You know that, don't you?
No, I didn't know that. Really?
Yes. Well, you don't have to act so surprised about it. It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't get a regular award, did you?
No. Mine wasn't an ordinary award like yours, but a special one. It was a statue carved out of wood. Yours wasn't hand-carved, was it?
No, mine wasn't carved.
No, I don't think so.
Mine wasn't wood.
No.
Mine was just gold.
Just gold. I get it, a dig, you know. Well, you got to keep polishing yours all the time, don't you? I don't.
Well, at least I don't have to spray mine for termites.
Yeah. He's begging for it. My statue will last for years. Why, some of the most important works of art are carved out of wood. Well, take a totem pole, for example.
Yeah, or take even you.
Yeah. Mr. Tracy, the fires of friendship are turning to clinkers. Come to think of it, I didn't even see you when they gave out the awards at the Academy dinner.
Well, I wasn't there.
Oh, wouldn't they let you in?
Certainly.
I see. You didn't have a tuxedo.
I was sick. So Mrs. Tracy accepted the award.
Well, she deserved it, too. I remember Mrs. Tracy. Now, there's a fine woman.
Thank you.
You know I don't like to say anything, but she practically intimated that I should have been given that gold statue.
Oh,
yes, she did. Yes.
Well, you know, I think, Charlie, it's entirely up to the judges to make those decisions.
Yeah, and I might say they're getting awfully careless lately.
Yes. The more I talk to you, the more I'm inclined to agree with you.
Thank you. Or should I thank him? I'll think that crack out later.
Now that we're getting down to it, just what have you done in the acting line that's worthwhile?
I'm glad you asked me. You come down to Fuffmeyer's barn, and you can see one of our performances. You might get a few pointers.
Oh, a stock company, huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, summer stock is a good experience for beginners.
Yes, it is. And what I mean is it wouldn't hurt you. I got that one in.
Why, I'll come down to your stock company and I'll show the whole bunch of you up.
Yeah? Well, you better bring that statue along with you. It won't hurt to flash it now and then when the going gets tough.
Well, what do you do? Wear yours around your neck?
Never mind what I do. Have you got a catcher's mask?
Yeah.
Well, bring that along, too. The stage is only an egg's throw from the audience, and they do throw.
Is the audience that tough?
Why, they even booed me.
Oh, well, they're not tough. They're intelligent. I'll wow them.
Yeah, with what? What can you do? Can you dance?
No.
Oh, I can't dance. Can you juggle?
No, I can't juggle.
Can't juggle. Well, there must be something you can do. Can you milk a cow?
No. But I can sing.
You can sing. Uh-huh. I see. Well, I don't know. Should I or shouldn't I? Whatever I get, I deserve. I know now. Oh, I guess I will. Go ahead. Give us a demo test of it. And if it's good, we can use it. 10-1, it ain't.
All right, now, here's my favorite song.
I hope so.
Now, listen to this.
Yes.
Don't cry, little fish, don't cry. You'll be a big fish by and by.
Yeah.
Charlie, will that do?
Yes. Yes, that will do, yes. I was afraid it would be just about like that. There'll be no singing for you. How are you on reading lines?
Oh,
I hope.
Listen now, if it's drama you want, you know, I've got that.
Oh, sure.
And if it's romance, I've got that, too.
Oh, says you. Good. Sure.
Listen to this. Listen.
I'll try.
Oh, my darling, I've missed you so much. Life is but an empty shell without you. Where have you been?
I've been down to the basement washing.
Maybe we better stick to heavy drama.
Yeah, can you give me a little of that villain stuff?
Oh, sure.
Full force.
Sure. Come a little closer and I will hit you with my fist.
That's a villain, huh? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind doing it again, even giving it a little more?
Yes.
A little tougher.
Yeah. Come a little closer and I'll hit you with my fist.
Uh-huh. Yes. 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 I don't know what to say. You are Spencer Tracy, aren't you? Yes. Well, they sure are getting careless with those awards. Let me give you a sample, Mr. Tracy. Why, listen, you cow-eyed, worm-faced, poor excuse for a man. I'll sock you so hard it'll take 3 days for your shadow to find you.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. You know, nobody can talk to me that way.
Well, I was just...
Why, you little fugitive from a buzzsaw.
Wait a minute.
You've been popping off at the mouth a little too much for your own good.
But I was only demonstrating...
You know, talking to me that way is the same as taking poison, only I do it quicker.
I was acting. You don't understand. Now, wait a minute now. Yeah. Let's use discretion.
Don't talk discretion to me. It's too late for discretion.
It was only for your own good. I was just showing you. You wouldn't hurt me, would you?
No, I wouldn't hurt you. I wouldn't... No. All I'm going to do to you is just wrap your arms around your neck,
now, Mr. Tracy,
break every twig in your body, and hang a lead weight on you and drop you in the deepest part of the ocean.
Help, skinny, stinky. Stinky.
Your pals won't help you any now.
Henry, well, why don't you pick on someone your size, you big bully?
Charlie, Spencer, what is this?
He pulled a knife on me.
What do you want, Arnold?
Spencer, aren't you ashamed of yourself talking to Charlie that way?
That's telling him.
I'll put a stop to this fight.
No, who asked you to butt in this, Arnold? Did he hit you, Spencer?
Who, that guy?
Yeah, say a word, Spencer, and I'll pop him one for good luck.
And as for you, Charlie, you'd better mind your manners, and you might try keeping quiet while others are talking.
Now, wait a minute. Don't start picking on my pal McCarthy.
No.
It's a fine state of affairs when two Irishmen can't talk without being interrupted.
Yeah. Sure, and if it's a shillelagh I had, I'd be using it on his head. I'd be using it.
Sure, and if I could lay me hands on a brick, it's not far behind you, I'd be.
Yeah, not a brick, not a club around here. I've never seen such a clean place. Come on, Spence. Let's go out and get a split of double balls of milk.
Okay.
Don't cry, little fish, don't cry. You'll be a big fish by and
Now, all our listeners will want to make the most of this timely information.
Coffee is a perishable food. That's something to remember. And just as most of us prefer new-laid eggs and sweet milk fresh from the dairy, we also prefer freshly roasted coffee rushed from the fragrant roasting ovens. And while many perishable foods, including coffee, can be preserved, millions of people prefer coffee they know is freshly roasted. Chastened, Sanborn, dated coffee. Remember, freshly roasted coffee is delicious. Stale coffee can become rancid-tasting, harsh and unpleasant. But freshly roasted coffee is always a delight. And nowadays, it's easy to get a superb blend of coffee freshly roasted. To provide coffee lovers everywhere with freshly roasted coffee, Chase and Sanborn maintain a far-reaching rapid delivery system. Your coffee, freshly roasted, is rushed to your grocer from a nearby roasting oven. And the delivery date, plainly marked on every bag, is your assurance of freshness. Enjoy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee every day. Remember, you get this rich blend at its best, freshly roasted. Taste its full, delicious flavor. That's important for good hot coffee. And in iced coffee, where melting ice dilutes your drink, you especially need the big, full flavor of freshly roasted coffee. But hot or iced, to get coffee as it should be, at the peak of its goodness, be sure your coffee is freshly roasted. And when you think of freshly roasted coffee, think of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
From the first act of Puccini's opera Tosca, the aria Re Candida Monia, our tenor is John Carter of the Metropolitan Opera Company.
Re Candida Monia, di bellezze diverse.
That brings us around to the end of another Chase and Sanborn Hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way to tell us you enjoy our show. Next week, another big Chase and Sanborn Hour. As a special guest, we've invited a leading contender for this year's Academy Award, Miss Faye Painter, who gives such a great performance in White Banners. The rest of us will all be around, too. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, John Carter, Dorothy L'Amour, Lord and Clarence Stroud, and Robert Umbrister and his orchestra. Until next Sunday, then, so long.
With us again next week at the same time for another Chase and Sanborn Hour. Faye Bainter, Edward Arnold, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, John Carter, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program was The Big Show by Jerome Kurtz. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. This is the National Broadcasting Company.